Today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
If you're uncovered and unconverted, it is very difficult for you to be fully restored. In other words, you come to church because you're going through a hard time and you lift up your hands. But a true commitment to God only lasts as long as the trial lasts.
Bishop Clark says submission to God pulls more on the human frame than any other law.
In other words, when the trial lifts, you go back to dancing. All on the floor, drinking, all on Facebook. That's it. Throw it, work it, wiggle with it. I just saw you at church crying.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Today, Bishop Clark talks about the five factors in the life of believers, which will explain, at least to some extent, the paralysis and ineffectiveness to restoration. Let's turn again to Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, as Bishop Clark concludes the message, "Don't sabotage your restoration."
Notice the scripture. Because of them, we set a watch day and night. I don't know why you would be relaxed right now when restoration is pending and you just coasted. It is not complete yet. Because of the confusion, the Bible says we set a watch day and night over them to watch. In other words, I need a sentinel. If you ever go to Israel and you start moving around Israel, the mountains of Naphtali is a mountain ridge where Israel, the capital in Jerusalem, the Knesset, they have sent out a post there who stand on top of the ridge to look over. You can see other nations from it. So they can see if any impending nations or any threats are coming or marching toward them. And you have posts. I mean, these are posts where the guard is standing watch day and night on the mountains of Naphtali. And anybody that's named Naphtali should be a person that's a sentinel. In other words, you're able to detect not people but the devil even in your own life. And if you don't know how to work that, maybe you need to hook up with me, so I can train you in how to be what God made you to be and not what you inspire to be. Glory to God. So you need to make sure that you set a watch. In other words, I decree and declare that alertness and a sentinel within your own spirit is being to rise up even by the Spirit of God to detect any sabotage spirit that's on its way to derail restoration in your life. And you have to be able to cast it down. You already know if it's confusion, it's of the devil. You already know if it's not causing me to find what's missing and to rearrange that which is scattered and to fix that which is broken. It can't come from God. So I'm not going to embrace it. And there you've already pushed back from external schemes to block or sabotage your restoration. Glory to God. So now let's talk about internal enemies. There are five factors that I want to give you, maybe a little bit more, which will explain, at least to some degree, how the enemy is able to work internally to paralyze and to even to make you ineffective as it relates to restoration. To paralyze your restoration and ineffectiveness to restoration. We talked about external. These are people coming into your life. But how do you think about restoration? It's going to hurt, but I need to do it. Number one, if you're uncovered and unconverted, it is very difficult for you to be fully restored. Let me say it again. If you're uncovered and you're unconverted, in other words, you come to church because you're going through a hard time and you lift up your hands. But a true commitment to God only lasts as long as the trial lasts. In other words, when the trial lifts, you go back to dancing. all on the floor, drinking, all on Facebook. That's it. Throw it, work it, wiggle with it. I just saw you at church crying. If I turn you down when you ask me to pray, oh, you ain't ready for this prayer. You say, what kind of preacher is that? I asked for prayer. Can you believe it? Here's the conspiracy. He don't love nobody but himself with his gold. What if I could see that you ain't ready? You're just going through a burden. You're carrying a burden that's just hard for you to carry. But in terms of being converted, you ain't ready for that. You only use God as a Santa Claus. Christmas coming. I need gifts. God help me. What about the other 364 days of the year? Are you willing to commit to him? Commit to his ways? That's conversion. What about being uncovered? There are people who know him but refuse authority. Resist authority. That's why I say you need to sit down and let God what? Cover you. That means he spreads his wings out. You're under his pavilion. You sought the pavilion. He's your refuge and your strength, your very present help in the time of trouble. When he's covering you, you don't have to be afraid. Fear is not your motivation to do anything or being left alone. Because you are not alone. I am here with you, God says, not Michael, God. Though we're far apart in terms of physical distance, you're always in my heart. There are many people engaged in God's work who do not know the Lord. They're the people that come to church to volunteer. I just want to do something for God. But they go back to their old ways every day and don't really give God all in all. Whew. It's going to hurt, but it's real. I have to make a distinction with the uncovered and the unconverted. When you don't know the Lord and you refuse to be converted or to be covered, there's a measure of grace that he can't release to you. Every area of your life that you don't submit to God, there's an area of grace that he can't release. He can't infuse you with it. And that's why there's such a grind. Say, for instance, if you don't submit to God financially, anytime I talk about it, that's what you do inside. Again? But we can talk about anything for you. There's nothing too big. There's nothing. If I sent you 1,000, you wouldn't say, whoo, that's too much. You say, thank you. Oh, you're the best. And now you begin to see what's in the heart, right? Because if you can receive 1,000, but you got a problem when others receive 1,000, something's wrong with heart. And there's an area that God can't inject grace in. Once you open up that for the grace of God, the heart expands, not only to give, but you become a greater capacity to receive. When God wants you to give, he's trying to get a harvest to you. Not just a few dollars, a harvest. You can't beat God giving. No matter how you try. The more you give, the more he gives to you. Just keep on giving, because it's really true. Because you can't beat God giving. No matter how you try. Y'all don't remember that song, right? You got to be young, man. You got to be young to hear that. That happened when I was a young person in the church, hearing them sing that song, didn't understand it, but it's true. You will never beat God giving. You give him a tithe, but he bless family. You give him a tithe, he gives you favor. You give him a tithe, stuff just start happening. Woo, help me, Jesus. That's why the devil tries to stop you from submitting that portion to God. What about unforgiveness? Uncovered in an unforgiveness is an uncovered zone. Whoo, Jesus. Is it? I know they hurt you, and I know it stings even now, but to stay in the zone of unforgiveness, there's a measure of grace God can insert, because unforgiveness sometimes becomes worse than the perpetrator. The perpetrator doesn't even remember. And you still carry it. And that lifeline, they could be dead. The lifeline, the connector is not a lifeline. The death line is still connected with the decayed body. Pumping in confusion and hurt and death in your life. That's why forgiveness has to be covered by God. Unforgiveness is uncovered. Whew, help me, Lord. There are people who seek to serve, but when you're uncovered or unconverted, there's no measure of grace for the experience of service. You want the maximum measure of grace. Let me tell you something else. When you're covered, you have to have a better attitude. Amen. If you were out at a parade and it was like 98 degrees and I came up and put an umbrella, gave you a chair, and gave you some Gatorade, what would you do? You would receive it and say what? You would say thank you. Because I just stopped that heat from hitting the top of your head and I sat you in a chair, put a fan there, sat you in a chair, and gave you some cold, ice cold Gatorade to make sure your electrolytes were coming back up. You know, you don't even have to know me. You'll say, thank you. Thank you so much. I saw mirages. When you let God cover you with his umbrella and sit you down in the midst of your trials, he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. In the midst of them, he still blesses you. They don't want you to be blessed. And in the midst of all of their confusion, he still blesses you and lets you sit down and eat a steak right before him. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my conflicts. You anoint my head with oil. You give me spiritual Gatorade. You give me an anointing. Smear me with it in the midst of. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life. You can't look to the one and say thank you. You can't say thank you. You know you couldn't have done this by yourself. You didn't have the grace. He did it. You can't look at him and say thank you. That's all he wants. To turn it back to him instead of turning it to yourself. That's what the man did. I'm going to build bigger bonds. Look what I've accomplished in my life. I said, what are you talking about? Tonight I'm taking your soul. You didn't build this. You don't have the capacity. I did it for you. Somebody was praying for you. Somebody was crying out to me for you. You don't even pray. Can't you just say thank you, God? Submission pulls on the human frame, our nature, more than any other law. That's why it's hard for people to do it. But God requires it. Lest you sabotage your own restoration. The second one is an unsurrendered spirit. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God in Romans chapter 8. It is enmity. It's going to hurt, but I got to help you to not sabotage your restoration. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And actually, when you step into carnality, you actually throw up your fist against God. That's how he see it. The devil is not God's enemy. Let me say it again. The devil is not God's enemy. The devil is your adversary. And your adversary, the devil, walks in the world as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour God. He's been cast down. God's real enemy is a carnal mind and your flesh that will dominate your thinking. The Bible says it's hostile against God. That's what enmity means. It's hostile against God. Against God. In other words, your flesh is constantly doing like this to God. If God is a man, it's pushing him in his chest. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. That's what your flesh does. That's why you can't let it lead you. That thing that don't want you to pray, don't want you to fellowship, don't want you to submit to God is hostile against God. It will welcome every other entity, even idols. When it comes to God, as a pushback. Glory to God. There are six kinds of human beings. I'm going to write about it. First is the natural man or woman. That's a person who's just unsaved. I got a word for you too. I can preach it another time. The natural person, just natural. If a person's natural, all they're going to want to do is just have fun. They're not committed. They don't. You can't trust it. They're natural. They're not unsaved, don't know anything about truth. They just do what they do and have fun. Natural. That's why you got to know what stage a person's in. Some people are atlases as a natural person. I mean, just powerful naturally. But you got to move beyond natural if you're going to have covenant for life. Then we have what we call the spiritual. That's a person who not only has given their heart to the Lord, but their spirit has been recreated or regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They're now led of the Spirit and not the lust of the flesh. They're led by the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. In other words, they know what time it is. The flesh doesn't dominate them. So you have the natural, then the spiritual. Then you have what we call the uncircumcised. That's people who veil themselves. They veil themselves. They only tell you what you need to know. They don't tell you or uncover. They're very uncomfortable about skinning it back and allowing you to see everything. They like to wear hoods in their lives. I'm not talking about hoodies. I'm not talking about Trayvon Martins. I'm talking about veiling themselves, only peeking out to show you a little bit of themselves. Maybe they're hiding something themselves, and I'm not talking about hiding sin, but something that happened to them when they were little children that they can't talk about. It happens with men all the time, even premature, men that are premature. A lot of times they're trying to wipe off something that happened to them that they can't talk about. So they run from one to the next to say, am I really a man? Am I really a man? Am I really a man? Things are not always as they seem. Ooh, Jesus. And that's why God has to heal the uncircumcised. And the ladies who have their heart veiled, they're only going to show you the fine side, but not the soft side, because they have to hide themselves. You have to get to a place where you're able to skin it back and open up your soul. Don't marry the uncircumcised. One of the rules in Samuel's day of Eli and his sons were to check the men before they came into the sanctuary to see if they were uncircumcised. Those practices are long gone, but it was the covenant in Israel that every man had to be skint back. It's a covenant sign. It's very painful to cut back. In the fifth chapter of Joshua, when God appeared to Joshua, when God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 to take them over the Jordan, Moses, my servant, is dead, but I want you to take these people back over the Jordan. And as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will magnify you in the midst of these people. They will see you like they saw Moses. And he did so. And the Bible says before they could go over that, and he did several things. First of all, he told Joshua, you need to circumcise all of them who were born in the wilderness. Over the 40 years, they were born in the wilderness. They don't know my laws yet. They don't have it all together. They were born on the run. But I need you to take a flint knife and I need you to put it to the foreskin and cut it off. And then let them heal for 3 days before you fight. But every man has to go through it. And every man today, every woman today, it's not necessarily a physical thing, but it's a heart thing. Jeremiah 4 says, circumcise the foreskin of my heart. Yeah. It's veiled. No matter what people say, you don't feel it. God needs to skin that back, and then he can touch you, and you can feel it. When somebody cries, you just won't say, well, I'm sorry. You'll cry too. Jesus. Whoo, Jesus. So Joshua cut the foreskin, hallelujah, and it was a bloody place called Gilgal. And you got to go to Gilgal. Guess what? When Elisha is about to take his flight and go to heaven, Elisha said, I want the double portion. And Elijah the father said, if you can cross the Jordan with me, and if you can go to Jericho with me, and if you can go to Gilgal, the place of the cutting, then you'll get the second wind. You'll get the portion that I can release to you. But if you fail to go to these three spots, you won't ever see the next dimension. And even God has a sharp knife in the kingdom. You want to come to him because he saved you from your sin. But you got to deal with the flint knife that cuts away the foreskin. Then takes you from that uncircumcised place to a place where you can feel. Oh, God help me. And we got a lot of people that's in the kingdom, but they're uncircumcised. Then we have the bastard. When I was writing the word bastard, word said this word is not good language. I told Siri, listen, don't try to put me through no dictionary. Listen. It's right there in the scripture. You know what a bastard is in the scripture? A person who say, I don't have a father. I'm not coming under covering. I do whatever I want to do. That's bastardism. And they don't take correction. We got a whole lot of folk. You can give them $10,000. Thank you. Say, I don't want you to do it. What? That's a person saying, I don't have no daddy. That needs to be corrected now. What do you mean you don't have a... What? No child of mine can tell me that. Amen. It just can't happen. And things remain the same. You will always have a father, even if I'm dead. You're birthed through your mother's womb, but called through your father's seed. You will respect mama, and you never say that to me. And if you say it to her, we're going to have a problem. You talking about fighting words, don't ever say that. That's bastardism. You can't dethrone your daddy. I don't care how bad he is. You can check him and put him in his rightful place, but you can't say, I don't have none. And you can't do it spiritually. Thank you, Lord. We got a whole lot like that. Everybody going after these, everybody, Trey Song, everybody going after these stuff and these singles and these icons, and they all have no father. If they had a father, he would say, don't treat women that way. You don't treat a woman that way. Fathers teach that. You don't teach them promiscuity. Don't ever say that. That's not what we do. That's what fathers do. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Then we have the carnal. That's the one that's enmity. That's the one that fights God the most. He can't get nothing to you. Watch this. This is why it's frustrating. You were saved, but you never submitted. You got saved, you went through the motions, but you never really submitted. That carnal mind is enmity against God. That needs to change. The last one is the son. The son. That's a person who says, I'm spiritual, I was natural, I was uncircumcised, I went through the process, I didn't even like working with people, I was a bastard, I was even carnal at times, but I've transitioned into sonship. I'm submitted now. God says I can work with the sons. They will inherit the kingdom of God.
I feel in my spirit that the Holy Spirit is prompting me to speak out loud this one word, activation. Faith becomes active and effective when it is built on a strong foundation of accurate answers or truth. When you believe in the integrity of that truth, when you trust in that truth, and when you're hearing that truth on a continual basis, if you do these things, your faith will be activated. So F in faith is for foundation. Build on the solid foundation, which is God's word. The A in faith is for accurate answers. We must build our faith on truth, and the word of God is truth. We must also build our faith on the I, which is integrity. There must be fidelity, trustworthiness in our lives. And the T in faith is for trust. Build your faith on trust. Lastly, the H in faith is for hearing. Hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more you hear, the more you trust, the more integrity you have, the more accurate answers you stand on, the foundation that you will build will get you ready to activate, to make movement in faith.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For your physical copy of today's message from the Restore series, Don't Sabotage Your Restoration, when you write or email us, use reference number 2110-0308. That's reference number 2110-0308. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and for Apple users, go to the App Store. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org. And now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
The foundation of a building is the most important part of a building. It is invisible to the naked eye once the building is erected, but it is the most important part, the most essential part of the structure. It's the substructure that bears the weight, bears the heaviness, the might, and the strength of the building. And it makes the building stable. So it is with our foundation. When we lay the proper foundation of faith on the Word of God, not only is it the most important part of our Christian structure, it is the substructure that bears the weight of our faith and our lives, and it makes our lives more stable. Build on the Word of God. Increase your faith. Activate your faith.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.